Hey, thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church, where we are one church meeting in four locations. And our goal is to help you on your spiritual journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference in the lives around you. If you'd like to learn more about Our Savior's Church, please visit us online at oursaviorschurch.com.
Good morning again, everybody. Welcome to Words Matter Part 2. If you were not here last week, or if you're new to Our Savior's Church, we normally preach in a series. We'll take a topic and probably build three or four different sermons around that topic. And so we've been talking about words. Everybody say words matter. Yeah. And if you weren't here last week, I want to encourage you to get the podcast. And I'll just give you the summary of last week. If I had to kind of bring it all down into one big kind of summary statement, it would be this, that words are revealers of people's hearts. Words really do matter. How many of you have ever said something that you've regretted? Raise your hand or you'll go straight to hell if you're lying here in the church. Yeah, we've all said something that we wish we wouldn't have said, and you go, man, I don't even know where that came from. Well, the Bible tells us where it came from. It actually comes from our hearts. And so words are revealers. In fact, if you'll listen to people when you're talking to them closely, they'll reveal a lot about a person is what they say. Solomon wrote, life and death are in the power of the tongue, and you'll eat of its fruit. It will produce something in your life, and words really do matter. Can I get an amen? Yeah, so I want to just go ahead and jump into week number two today, and I want to read the same passage of Scripture using three different versions. And I want to talk to you today, if you'll just kind of lean in. This will be one, if you're already a Christian, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, today's message is not only going to confirm that you're on the right track, but it'll also be equipping you of how to talk to people in your friends, family, colleagues, your sphere, who when you talk to them about Christ, it'll help you. You'll go, okay, I'm going to use that. You're going to pick up some tools today if you're already a believer. If you're in the room and you're not sure about faith and Christ, is all this real? I'm really going to be talking to you as well today also. Let's jump into this topic about words revealing. Words really do matter. Let's look at, Luke chapter 6, verse 45, and I'll read three different versions. The Living Bible says, whatever is in the heart overflows into speech. Good News Translation. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Contemporary English Version. Your words show what is in your heart. How many of you believe that? The words really do show what's in people's heart. Here's what I want you to hear. If that's true of people, if you really listen, go, whatever in your heart, your mouth speaks, and we go, this is true. If this is true of people, it's even more truer. If it's true of people, then you know it's true of God. Whatever is in his heart will actually come out. And so we're going to see that his words actually show his heart. And so we're going to look at that today, that we're going to look at what God's words are, and because that reveals his heart towards you. When you're going to leave here, you're going to be encouraged today. You're going to walk out of here going, God really loves me, because we're going to look at what his words are about you. And so I don't know, many of you probably don't. I know a lot of you girls do because you bought it. I live with an author. Heidi wrote her first book about a year ago, maybe. Was it a year ago or so? 2 years ago, wrote a book, her very first book, first of many books. Can I get an amen? So she wrote it. It was a labor. I mean, it's labor. It's hard to write a book. And I almost felt like I wrote the book with her. I mean, it's like, she's driving me crazy. And she wrote this book. And well, here's what's cool about the book. And I read the book. And you know what's cool about the book is that I live with the author of that book. So I could be reading her book and get to page 69, and if I don't understand something, then I can go to I'm living with her. We're shacking up. We're cohabitating, me and Heidi. Now, that is my wife, if you're a first-time guest. She is my wife. We are married. I have a ring. And But here's what's really cool is that if I don't understand something that she wrote, how many of you know I can go directly to her? She's right there. And say, babe, you said this on page 69. What did you mean by that? That I can get clarity from her because the author is living and she lives with me. Everybody tracking with me so far? God's word is his words and his book to show you how he feels about you. When you read it, he's still alive and he's still with us. That means if you don't understand something, you can still go to him and get clarity from it. And he will show you by his Holy Spirit. Isn't that a good word? And so the Bible is God's word. It reveals his heart and he's still alive. I want you to say this with me. The word of God is the heart of God. One more time. The word of God is the heart of God. For the balcony, one more time. The word of God is the heart of God. So we know that the Bible says about itself that it is timeless, the Bible. There is no expiration date on scripture, though culture will try to put one on it. It will call it old-fashioned. It will call it yesteryear. It would call it the old way. We know that it's timeless. Let me tell you what the Bible says about itself. What you say goes, God, it and stays as permanent as the heavens. Your truth never goes out of fashion. It's as up to date as the earth when the sun comes up. Your word and truth are dependable as ever. Out of fashion? I know us men, we have a problem. I mean, I've got two adult daughters, and Heidi. They're the ones who go, you can't be wearing that anymore. I'm going, what? Me? We're ordering you new stuff. In fact, I think just about everything I have on today, now my daughters are my personal shoppers. They're going, we're letting, it's coming. It comes in a box. Thank you, UPS. Thank y'all for delivering. I don't even have to shop anymore. The girls just order it and they show me pictures. You like this, Daddy? Okay, order. And how many of you know, the Bible never goes out of fashion. Despite what culture is going to try to tell you. The Bible is also, it's timeless, but it's also truthful. Look what Psalms 119, 160 says. Your words all add up to the sum total. Truth. Pastor Jim Cimbala said this. He said, everyone is entitled to their own opinion, but not everyone is entitled to their own truth. My hero and one of Heidi's heroes in the faith is Winky Pratney, who would say, if it's true, it isn't new. And if it's new, it isn't true. And if it's true, it's true no matter your creed, your color. If you're sitting in this room today, if you're black, you're white, you're brown, you're red, you're yellow, I think I got everybody covered. Doesn't matter the color of the pigmentation of your skin. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It's true for the Republicans. It's true for the Democrats. It's true for the Independents. It's true for the Protestants and true for the Catholics and the Charismatic. It's true for the lost and it's true for the found. It never changes. It never goes out of style. It's always the same. It will never move. You can try to move it. You'll never move it. So it's timeless, it's truthful, but the Bible, the word of God is also a treasure. Look what Psalms 119. Let me read a few out of Psalms 119. This is a few verses. Truth from your mouth means more to me, the psalmist wrote, than striking it rich in a gold mine. Your words are so choice, so tasty, I prefer them to the best home cooking. And by the way, we have some of the best home cooking in the world right here in South Louisiana. You're blessed. That's why we got to keep working out. I asked one of our men, I said, why do you work out all the time? He goes, because I love to eat. How many of you know that's a good reason to work out? If you live in South Louisiana, it's because you like to eat. It means more to me. I prefer it better than home cooking. Psalms 119, 27 and 28. 127, 128. God, I love what you command. I love it better than gold and gemstones. God, I honor everything you tell me. And here's what I'm really excited about. Coming in the new year, we're going to encourage and challenge and all get on a journey together. We're going to walk this thing out. We're going to challenge all of us. Everybody say all. We're going to challenge all of us to go on a journey and read the Bible through in a year. So we're going to be purchasing 1 year Bibles and things like that for you to get. And then we're going to just take a journey. How many of you would love to at least say at one time in your life, you read the Bible all the way through, and we're going to have that opportunity. We're going to all do it together, and we'll hold each other accountable and challenge each other as we read the Bible. Y'all excited about that? Yeah, let's get it in us. David said, I've hid the word of God in my heart. Well, in order to do that, you got to read it. And so we're going to do that together as a church, the entire, all four campuses of our Savior's Church. I would say this to you. If the only meal you eat, spiritual meal you eat every Sunday, you are not thriving, you're just surviving. Holla. If this is the only meal you're eating every week, then you're eating one meal a week and you're not thriving, you're just surviving. And we really want to challenge, we're going to do it all together. Remember, God's word reveals his heart. Say that with me. God's word reveals his heart. There was some time ago, and William, and I shared this with the earlier service, my son William, he did the prayer. He did a great job of the prayer today. Didn't he do a great job? And William called me. He was in Bible college, and he was at a college in Birmingham, Alabama. And that college is connected to a church, much like ours, but much bigger than ours. It's probably 5 times bigger than ours. This Sunday, we may have up to 8,000 people in chairs in church this Sunday. 8,000, that's a lot, that's a big church. That's rare air. They were 5 times that size. 5 times 8 is, thank y'all. Are y'all sure? Okay, good. That's 40,000 people. That's a big church. One of the largest churches in America. And William calls me one day. He's a freshman at college. Calls me and goes, hey, Dad. Hey, I think I got a hookup. I think I'm going to have lunch with the pastor. Really? Yeah, isn't that cool? Yeah, let me tell you what I'm thinking. That's hard to believe. Now, William weaseled his way. Now, he worked the system. He gets that from his mother. No, it's me. And he goes, yeah, can you believe that, man? I said, well, William, that's great. I'm trying to be a supportive father. Instead of going, you doing what? You ain't doing that. No way. And he goes, and so I'm gonna do that. And I said, well, what are you going to do? He said, we'll go to lunch. We're just going to hang. I just want to hear his heart. And I said, can I help you? I'm asking for permission. As they get older, you gotta end your statements, not with periods or exclamation marks like you used to. Because when they were younger, you say, you're not doing that. Are you crazy? As they get older, you gotta take the periods off and the question marks off. I mean, and the exclamation marks off. And you got to put question marks. And I said, William, do I have permission to help you? And he said, sure, Dad. I said, listen to me, son. Do not waste this man's time. If you get 45 minutes with him, you are not going in there to hang. Or I will hang you. If you get 45 minutes with one of the pastors who's leading one of the largest congregations in America, you better have a yellow pad full of questions that you want to ask him, and you better not eat by his meal. Let him eat. You don't eat. You get a water, and you sit there and ask the questions and write as fast as you possibly can. Whoa, 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 whoa. What should I ask him? Thank you. You should ask him, what would you say to the 20-year-old you if you went back? Tell me some of the greatest victories you've had in ministry, some of the greatest defeats. Tell me some of your greatest decisions. Tell me some of your worst decisions. Give me three books on leadership that I have to read. Give me three books on spirituality that I have to read. Talk to me about your prayer life. Well, how did you start? What did you do when you're Bible reading? How do you do it? Well, who can I talk to practice to learn how to communicate better? You better have one question after another, and you better call me back with your questions. Well, you're going to ask me before you ask him. And so he's like, oh, okay. Thank God the meeting never happened. It would have been cool if it did. What if you had a lunch with God? What questions would you ask him? Well, we just going to hang. Great are you, Lord. No, you better have some questions. If you could meet with God, by the way, you do get to meet with God. You can meet with God. And you can bring him all of your questions. But if you had one face-to-face meeting with God, let me give you three questions you probably should ask. Let me give you question number one. God, what do you think about me? Now, why would I ask that question? Because I think the number one tactic of the enemy, of your soul and mine, is to rob something. It's to rob the identity of who you really are. To come and try to steal that, because that was his plan back in Genesis, to rob the identity of who Adam and Eve were and to lie about God. So I would ask the question, God, what do you really, really, really think about me? Remember, his words reveal his... Out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. We get the Bible, which is his words. And so we want to look at what the scripture says about. Let me show you what his words say about you. His words reveal his heart. Psalms 139, 1 through 7. Oh Lord, you've examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know when I sit or stand. When far away, you know my every thought. You chart the path ahead of me and you tell me where to stop and rest. Every moment you know where I am. You know what I'm going to say before I even say it. You both precede and follow me and you place your hand of blessing on my head. This is too glorious, too wonderful to believe. I can never be lost to your spirit. I can never get away from my God. He goes on to write, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and you knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. It is amazing to think about. Your workmanship is marvelous and how well I know it. You were there while I was being formed in utter seclusion. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life before I began to breathe. Every day was recorded in your book. How precious it is, Lord, to realize that you're thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn towards me. And when I awaken in the morning, you are still thinking of me. What a God! What a God! You're one of a kind. In the earlier service, we had a young couple sitting right here that just got engaged. Oh, you should have seen him worshiping, holding hands. Of course, she was holding up her left hand as she was in worship. How many of you know she happy? Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. She was happy, happy, happy. How many of you know, if you've ever seen young love, they can't, all they can do is want to talk about each other. Did you know that the Bible says this about you, that the Lord has written your name upon the palm of his hand? Remember when you was in junior high and you'd write a girl's name on the palm of your hand? Susie. Then after lunch, you'd scratch out Susie and write Heidi. Not my Heidi. Not my Heidi. Your name is on his hand. Did you know it says it's continually on your lips, on his lips, your name? What does that mean? It means how much he loves you, that you're special to him. You're unique. You're one of a kind. There is no one like you. Max Lucado wrote this. The pastor Max Lucado wrote, If God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. He sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Face it, friend, he's crazy about you. He's crazy about you. We had the privilege of going over a family in our church. We went over to dinner. They invited us over, and we had dinner with them one night, and we went in, and they have a refrigerator, and it's full of all the grandkids' stuff and pictures, you know, that aren't very good, but if you're the grandparent, they're amazing, right? And so we're looking, and then we were so honored that our Christmas picture that we send out, our Christmas card, was on their refrigerator. That's special. Isn't that special? To know that we, our family, every time they go eat, they see us. There I am. Heidi's there with her hair. Kids are there. A couple dogs. And but they also had a picture of the first family, our president. President Obama and his wife Michelle and their family. And their picture was right there, and ours was just underneath it. And they said, I said, oh, that's so sweet. Y'all put our picture on your refrigerator, and there's the first family. We're so honored. And they go, oh, yeah, we think of y'all every time we eat. How many of you know that can be a lot? And I just said, it's just out of order. I said, the Reiser family goes above the Obama family. We need to get this in order. And I moved, and we all laughed, had a great time. But how many of you know special things go on people's refrigerators? God has a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If he had a wallet, your photo would be in it. The value of something is not what people are willing to pay for it. The value of something is what people are willing to pay for something. Do you know how valuable you are to God? I DVR Pawn Stars. Anybody ever see Pawn Stars? I love the DVR because you can watch it when you want to. And so I DVR Pawn Stars. And the pawn shop, you know, there's people that have these items, and they bring in, they video them before they come in. They go, yeah, I've got this. I saw a guy the other day, he had a jousting helmet from the 16th century. Yeah, I think it's worth about $10,000. And then he goes in, right? And he goes in, he puts it on there, and he goes, how much you want for it? He goes, $10,000. And he goes, well, I'll have to bring in an expert. And the expert comes in and goes, nah, it's worth about $5,000. And then the expert leaves, and the person's deflated because he thought it was worth 10, and now it's worth 5. And guess what the pawn shop dealer offers him? $2,500. And he ends up taking, and he goes, I'm a little disappointed. How many know the value is not what you say it is? The value is what someone's willing to. Let me just look at me right here. The value of you, the worth, is it caused God to take the most expensive gift that he had, his own son, to come, to send it down, to redeem you. That's how valuable you are to him. What he thinks about you, that he would say, my own son. I'll let my son die in your place. You're one of a kind. You're unique. Can we give God all the praise for that? He loves you. I'd ask, God, what do you think about me? Then I'd say, God, what do you think about sin? We've heard it said, God loves the sinner, but he hates the, yeah. I can prove that to you because his word does say that. Again, his words reveal his. Out of the heart does the mouth speak. His words reveal it. Words matter. Romans 5 and 8 tells us, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ Jesus to die for us once we became dream teamers of our Savior's church. That's not what it says, does it? Once we got baptized. No, that's not what it says. Once we read the Bible through in a year, then we were worth dying for. Once we proved ourselves. And he said, no. Before any of you got it together or you got it right that he would come and send us while we were still what? while we were still sinners. We also know why he hates sin. He hates it. He hates sin. On June 28, 2008, a young man by the name of Asia LaShawn Ferguson climbed over two fences as he entered a restricted area in Six Flags over Georgia. The 17-year-old was hit and killed by the Batman roller coaster. It is not known why Ferguson climbed the fences. And his father said, "Nobody knows but my son and the Lord." And isn't it funny that many people will try to climb the fences around the authority that God has placed around them? And there's a reason why God says, "I don't want you to climb the fences." Probably almost 30 years ago, I walked into a high school, much like this one. I was a student pastor, Heidi and I were. I walked in and had an appointment with the principal. I walked in and said, "Hi, my name's Eugene. I'm a student pastor here in town. And I got a bunch of kids that attend your school, that attend our youth group. And I just want to let you know I'm here to support you. If there's anything I could ever do, please call me. I mean it." I said, if you got a lunch lady that's sick and you need someone to come serve lunch, call me. I'll come. If you need a janitor, if the janitor's sick and you need somebody to mop the floors, I'd be glad to do it. I just want you to know I'm here to support what you're doing." And then he looks at me. I wasn't expecting this. He looks at me and goes, "I had 60 girls drop out pregnant last year. What can you do about that?" 60 girls. I said, "Can you give me a couple days? Can you give me a couple days and I'll come back? I'll come back with something that maybe we could do, maybe to help." And so I went home. I go, "God, help me. What am I going to do? What are we going to do?" And I found this thing from Josh McDowell called Why Wait? And I put it together. And 2 days later, I showed up. And he goes, "What's your plan?" I said, "If you would just let me teach the reason why God tells us to wait until we're married." He said, "I'll tell you what. Let me do this. At lunch period, once a week, I'll give you, any kid that wants to come, volunteer, you can have the auditorium. And any kid that wants to come, and you can teach them that." And so that's what happened. I'd go once a week. Auditorium, much like the size, would be about as many people as you see right now. And I went in there, and I just taught. God's not a killjoy. He created intimacy between man and woman. He also just created the fences that he wanted you to stay in. And if you climb the fences and you get out into sin, it's going to hurt you. He doesn't. Again, who created it? God created it. He's the one that came up with the idea. What a God. But he did say, stay inside of the fences. "Well, I don't like the fences. I don't like that." No, go ahead and climb over. Listen, they come see me every week. People that have climbed over the fence and are now getting hit by the Batman roller coaster. I wrote this quote down. Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and it'll cost you more than you want to pay. And some of us have the t-shirt. Can I get a witness in this congregation? You go, "Boy, if I could go back, climbing the fence." And so he knew that. I taught the kids this. God's not a killjoy. Look, he says this because he wanted to keep you from pain. It's not that he doesn't want you to enjoy. He just said, "I want you to enjoy inside of the right boundaries. And if we create the right boundaries, it's going to be awesome." Can I get an amen from the married couples? And so you go, it's awesome. And he goes, "But you got out." And I'll never forget, there's a little girl sitting, I don't know, midway back. I could just watch her crying. And so after the dismissal and everybody's scrambling, I tried to find her, and I caught her out in the hallway. And I just grabbed her and said, "Girl, sister, you okay?" And she just turned around and said, "You're just one day too late." What was God loves us sinners. But the only reason why he put any boundaries was to keep you from the harm and the pain that it could cause you. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about, don't you? We all know. We've all climbed the fence. So why do we have to talk about sin? Why? Because of forever. How long is forever? Forever. It's forever. Which brings us to question number three that I would ask. Vic's going to help me. God, what do you think about forever? Eternity. I've been to more funerals than anybody else in this room. I don't know. I was trying to do the math, and it's 30 years of ministry, maybe an average of 10 funerals a year, just to make the math simple. Sometimes more, sometimes maybe less. But 10 times 30, 300. 300 funerals. Infants. No bigger than a box. Children. Teenagers. Young parents. Or a young parent. People in the prime of their life. The elderly. Some was by sickness. And some was by accident. In the twinkling of an eye. Here today, gone tomorrow. Some of them are really peaceful funerals because you knew where their eternity was. And some you just didn't know. And some you were just like, ooh. Eternity is forever. Why does God hate sin so much? Because eternity is forever. Remember, he loves us, but he hates sin. There's a story that there was a fellow walking by a cemetery when he noticed a tombstone with the following inscription. As you are now, so once was I, as I am now, you are sure to be. So may I say, as now I lie, prepare yourself to follow me. And with that, the gentleman took out a piece of chalk and wrote underneath that inscription, to follow you, I am not content until I know which way you went. We're all going to die. I'm going to die. You're going to die. It's going to happen. Don't know when. I hope it's long for all of us, but we don't know when. It's a reality. But here's what God said. His words reveal his heart. Look what he says. But now, God has shown us a different way to heaven. Not by being good enough, not by going to our Savior's church or Grow Track or Dream Team, but not by being good enough and trying to keep his laws, but by a new way. Though not new, really, for the scriptures told us about it long ago. Now God says he will accept and acquit us, declare us not guilty, if we trust Jesus Christ to take away our sins. And we all can be saved in this same way, by coming to Christ, no matter who we are and what we've been like. Yes, all have sinned and fallen short of this glorious, God's glorious idea. So the only sin that can go to heaven, sin can go to heaven? Yes, there's only one kind of sin that can go to heaven. Sin that's been forgiven. Sin, Charles Finney wrote, is the most expensive thing in the universe. If it is forgiven sin, it costs God his only son. If it is unforgiven sin, it costs the sinner his soul and an eternity in hell. So in other words, there are two ways in which God deals with sin. The fires of hell or the blood of Jesus. Sin will be dealt with. fires of hell are the blood of Jesus. So there's no question whether your sin and mine are going to be punished. The question is, how will it be punished? Either you pay for it, hell, or you let Jesus pay for it through repentance. That's good news. Heaven is a free gift. It's not a reward for being good. Since it is a gift, it must be received. We know that God really loves us. We know that he really hates sin, and he really wants us to live with him forever. And how do I know this? How do I know this? Because God's word reveals his heart for you. Back to your funeral. Happens every time. I'll go to the funeral. Usually the funeral home, usually. Sit with the family. Say, tell me about them. And I'll make a few notes. Sometimes it's hard for the family to come up with stuff. All I'm asking you to do is give me something to work with. Give me some good material. Some of you have been outside of this fence for a long time and you already know it. And you're paying the price for it. It was fun in the beginning, but it'll always cost you more than you want to pay. It'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It's time to get back in to freedom. Boundaries aren't binding. God's boundaries. They actually bring you more freedom. I've told this before, but I've gone to hotel rooms to get away from our children when they were younger. Now they're all gone. We don't have to go away to get away from our children. It's amazing. What do we get away for? We go get a nice hotel room and just spend a few days, and I'd put on the Kenny G. That's for old people, right? I'd get out on the balcony and say, baby, come on out here and join me. She goes, no, you're fine by yourself. Overlooking the city, man. Look, we're out on the balcony, yeah. How many of you know that rail, that boundary brings you freedom? Because there's a rail there, you can stay alive all night long. You can dance and romance. But take the boundary down. You're not going out there. The boundary brings freedom. And you can kick against it. We've already said it's timeless, it's treasure, it's not moving until you finally submit to it and get on the inside and go, God's way is better than my way. My way only leads to death. His way leads to life. Are y'all hearing me this morning? Are you hearing me? If you're born again, you need to hear this to remind you. It'll equip you. If you're not, you need to really listen. I want every Christian, everyone in the room to bow your head. Bow your head and close your eyes. Christians, you're praying right now. Listen, if you're in the room and you're outside of the fence and you know it, this is your moment. The Lord is speaking to you today. He's calling you back. He's not mad at you. He loves you. He hates what sin does to the ones that he loves the most. He's asking you, come back inside. Jesus said it this way. You can't see the kingdom or enter the kingdom until you've been born again, until you get back inside the fence, until you let Jesus pay for your sin, or you're going to pay for it yourself. It's one way or the other. It will be punished. Either you let what Jesus did on the cross pay for it, or you'll have to pay for it. Eternity is a long, long time. It's forever. And so today, I want to ask you the question, have you been born again? Not christened or baptized, dream teamer, not have you gone through our growth track. Have you been born again? Pastor, you, how do I get born again? It's as easy as A, B, and C. Admit. A, admit that you're a sinner. We've all fallen short of this glorious, God's glorious ideal. believe. B, believe that Christ alone became the bearer for your sin, your shame, and your guilt to pay for it. And then C, confess him as Lord and Savior. If you're in the room today hearing my voice and you haven't made that right with God, today is your day. Today to receive forgiveness from him, to change your life, to get back inside of the fence, the boundary, because he loves you and he hates sin and eternity is forever. This is your invitation to be born again. I want to pray for you. All I ask that you do is simply hold your hand up high. No one's looking at me and say, Pastor, you, I want to be born again. Hold your hand up high right now all over this building. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Thank you. I see your hands. Hold them up high. One and two and three and four. I'm looking around the room. Hold up high. Hold up high. Four and five and six and seven and eight and nine and 10 and 11 and 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. Put your hand back down. I'll give you one more second. Maybe you didn't raise your hand this first time, but your heart, you feel like your chest, your heart's about to jump out of your chest. That's God. If you didn't raise your hand the first time, I want to give you one more opportunity. Today's your day. We're not promised tomorrow. Get it right today. Would you just lift your hand up high and say, Pastor, you include me in this prayer. Thank you, baby. 16, 17, sir, I see it. 18 and 19, I see it. Congregation, I want us to join with each one of these. We're going to pray this out loud together. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that on the cross, you took my sin, my shame, and my guilt, and you died for it. I believe you faced hell for me so I wouldn't have to go, and that you rose from the dead to give me a place in heaven, purpose on earth, and a relationship with the Father. So today, Lord Jesus, I turn from my sin to be born again. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. And heaven is now my home. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's congratulate those. Praise God. Proud of you.
Once again, thank you so much for joining us today at Our Savior's Church. If you'd like to learn more or to take your next step, call our church office at 337-678-0660.